Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Watch, therefore, for you neither know the day nor the hour. The last Sunday of the church year is the Sunday that we hear about our Lord and His coming return, that He is the bridegroom, that His church on earth is represented by the 10 virgins, 5 of which are wise and 5 of which are foolish. So the very first thing to get out of your mind is any idea that this text is talking about pagans or idolaters. It is not about pagans. They are not even included in this parable because they are not a part of the church on the earth and thus have no hope because they clearly have no faith in Christ. No, this text hits us much closer and in a much more personal way. This text is about the church of Christ on earth as it awaits our Lord Jesus. The church on earth, which includes, yes, believers in Christ, but also, as the scriptures teach and as we confess, it includes hypocrites, unbelievers who put on all the outward show of being a Christian, but inwardly do not have trust in Christ for their salvation. These both are a part of the church on earth because, of course, the church on earth cannot judge hearts, but only can judge the appearance, the action, and yes, the confession of a person. So this is why we have members. Members, like we will hear in just a little bit, who make a good confession when they join a congregation. So are you a wise virgin? Are you a sheep in the Lord's flock? If so, how are you to get ready for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ? This text from Matthew 25 helps us understand this today. That I want you to know from this parable that we find both the wise and the foolish virgins fail. They both alike get weary and fall asleep. They do not keep watch, nor do they get ready. They fall asleep. This is, of course, what the scriptures say, that believers and unbelievers will sin. That's not the difference between the wise and the foolish. That Christianity does not rid the Christian of the sinful flesh, but instead it teaches the Christian how to deal with the sinful flesh by daily contrition and repentance. And note, from this teaching, we also know we are to judge the failures here. That scriptures which people misuse of judge not lest he be judged is absolutely a misuse of scripture to allow it to excuse open actions of sin. Sin is to be called sin. Sinful actions that we witness should be called to account on the basis of love for that person, for that body and soul of that fellow human being, of the one who sins. That we indeed are each other's keepers, and that it is something very important for us to remember as a congregation that gathers each week. The big difference between the foolish and the wise is faith. The foolish virgins had no oil for their lamps when the time came. The oil signifies faith in Christ. The foolish ones, the hypocrites, looked outwardly the same as the wise, but they did not believe. They didn't think really that Christ, the bridegroom, was coming. They took the day-to-day carrying on of this normal life, they took that as proof. And then they took the millennia that have occurred now without the return of Christ as confirmation that all of this was really not that important and really not coming to be. They didn't trust the bridegroom at his word. So they lived their lives expecting a tomorrow. of not thinking that their own sins were that bad, that they didn't need to stop them, not thinking that those sins were deadly to their faith. But such is the life of unbelief. The Bible teaches us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So the fool doesn't have fear of God. His attitude towards sin and the things of God will demonstrate this, that sins will be considered not a big thing. Prayer is not really that important. Church attendance, that is, hearing the word, receiving the sacrament of the altar, are not that big of a priority, at least not to be compared with all the various other things that are going on in this everyday after everyday kind of life where Jesus is really not going to return. This should scare you a bit, that you have not stayed awake either, that you have sins, and that your sins too are deadly. It might ask you, or might cause you to ask the question, are you foolish, like the ones in the parable today? So far, this parable has us looking at ourselves, and that's good for a while. Because when you look at yourself and use God's word, it will show you your sins and how much you deserve for your negligence and sinful conduct. But here is the hope today in this parable, that Christ the bridegroom is merciful. This parable teaches it. He sends a crier to announce his coming at midnight. Christ did not have to do this. The bridegroom does not have to do this. But without this, all 10 of those virgins would have been still asleep, wouldn't they? Not a single one would have had their lamp lit to receive him. So who is this crier? Who fits that bill? It's the church, especially the preaching found in the church, that Christ has ordained and even commanded that his word go out, that the preaching of repentance and the forgiveness of sins be preached in his name unto all the earth and until the end of time, until he returns. That even the wise ones needed to be awoke. They needed to hear the cry of the midnight crier. They needed preaching. They needed baptism. They needed absolution. They needed the supper of our Lord's body and blood. They needed the midnight cry of the church, that which would call them awake. This is what you are hearing today. That you may have heard it last week, and that's too bad if you did not. You all needed it then as well. For faith is in constant need of nourishment. It is constantly needed to be replenished. The sinful nature is constantly trying to lull faith to sleep as the day of our Lord approaches. That to refuse the preaching and the ministry of the church is to refuse the cry that goes out at midnight. Frankly put, that's worse than even the foolish ones in the parable. Now, going back into that parable, those who hear that midnight cry, that shows us the difference between the believers and the hypocrites, and it gets way more clear, because they both wake up, but the believers, the wise ones, are wise because they have believed. They first believed and trusted that the bridegroom was indeed coming. And when they fail, when they sinned, when they fell asleep, they rise at the word of the midnight cry, and they immediately repent. They believe not only that the bridegroom is coming, but they believe the bridegroom is good, that the bridegroom wants to help them. They believe that the bridegroom is trustworthy. And so for them, admitting they are wrong and asking for forgiveness is easy. That's their life as the wise ones. For their faith teaches them that Christ is good and that Christ loves them. And so they arise and they have the oil of faith and they trim the wicks of their lamps and they prepare for his coming. They do what they should have been doing. But the foolish ones, they rise And they don't even cry out to the Lord for help. They still want to hide their sin. They don't believe. Why would they? They didn't really believe that Christ was returning. They thought nothing of their sins. They failed to cry out to the Lord their God. Instead, they try to get help from the believers, the wise ones. But no one can believe for another person. Your faith in Christ cannot save others. They also need to have faith in Christ. The foolish ones did not know Christ, and so Christ rightly says to them later that he doesn't know them when he doesn't allow them into the wedding feast. Saints of our Savior, be wise today. The midnight cry has gone out. The answer to the question of whether you are a foolish virgin is that it's no, you are not. That God's word says that you will be saved, as we heard it earlier, that those who believe and are baptized shall be saved. This is why we baptize even the little ones, because the little ones have the same corruption, wanting to fall asleep and not look for the coming of Christ. We baptize them to serve them, as God has commanded them to be served, that they would be given the Holy Spirit and faith in Christ. That belief, that faith, that trust, that confidence is in the promises of Christ. But then we also place the Word of God into their ears throughout their days as faithful parents and godparents and fellow Christians. Do you hear the midnight cry? Is the cry valid or not? Is the message true? Wake up. Repent. The bridegroom is good and loves. Come and receive what God has ordained to both grant you faith and to sustain and nourish that faith. The Bible teaches this. The Bible is where God speaks to us. It is the source and content of the preaching, of the baptizing, of the communing, of the absolving. So are you baptized? Well, does God keep his promises? Has he given you faith? Do you believe that faith needs to be fed? Yes, it does. As sure as Christ is set to return at any time, so also Christ has appointed for the church to be here to cry out to you, "Awake, O sleeper," to feed and nourish your faith in Christ by the word of Christ and by the sacraments that Christ has instituted. That your faith in Christ needs constant replenishment because the devil, the world, and the sinful flesh are more than happy each and every day to hammer away at it for all time. So let your faith be fed, word and sacrament. And let your faith do what it then needs to do after receiving such great and gracious gifts of our God, to find expression, to respond to God's word and his works with works of its own, singing, praying, praising, giving offerings, and making the beautiful confession of the faith that we get to make at church. You see, this is how God keeps you. That faith in Christ will not die if it is fed by Christ, and Christ feeds it through his church. No matter how much suffering and trials this life may have in store for you, no matter how many holy crosses might be put upon you, your faith in Christ cannot be let down if you come to heed the midnight cry with repentance and faith in the goodness of Jesus. That he is coming back, but that he is good and that he loves you, that he loves each one of you. And that's the whole reason the cry goes out in the first place. He doesn't have to do it for you, but he does. This is why it's so damaging to skip out on hearing the midnight cry. To skip out is let the oil of faith run dry, and on the last day there will not be time to get more faith from the dealers. Get the oil that is faith now, and keep your supply at the ready so that when you fail, you will know how to be wise, to trust in Christ and His promises and His goodness, that you are indeed baptized, you have been given faith, and everything that the Bible says about you, it says that you are counted as one of the wise ones, that you are elect, that you are forgiven. So be wise. You've shown to be wise this morning. Trust in Christ, for He is good and merciful. Heed His church's cry and get as much of the word and sacrament as you can to replenish your faith in Him. And call upon Him, for He is your help and your salvation. And He comes soon. In the name of Jesus, amen.